The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Sundays at 9 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Mike Rupert, I'm back again. It is Sunday, July 24, 2011. And for the benefit for all of you who were worried about me last week, I'm fine. I had a little coughing fit. It was so intense getting ready for last week. I was writing, and I forgot to bring water up for the show. And that'll catch up to you, and it did. But I actually recovered when they started the song last week. I actually came back and finished the show. The only problem was our board operator couldn't connect me back into my own show. So the miracles of technology. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. As I was talking to Gary Null about 10 minutes ago at the tail end of his show, I talked about something that happened here on this 2 acres that we have in Sebastopol. We've got beds now, and we're growing all kinds of things. Got 40 edibles in the ground, and I'm getting some time out there. But we have a lot of help. Max and Danny are the patron saints of our garden here. But we have an apple tree, and not too long ago we bought a huge truckload of topsoil to build these new beds. We have a very active compost pile, but we just wanted the topsoil because it makes a lot of difference now. And so we dumped it right on the front yard, right near the roots of an apple tree, a Guerneville apple tree. I live close to Guerneville. And what happened was the topsoil leached down into the roots of this tree on one side, and we look at it now, and it's obvious there are 10 times as many apples on the tree. And what happened was one branch became so laden with apples that it broke because it became too heavy. And isn't that a perfect metaphor for peak oil and what's happened to human population? It's just a very clear reinforcement to me of the message that once things get out of balance, they do tend to kind of run amok, but balance will always be restored, and it's the being out of balance to begin with that sets in motion the train of events which we see coming to a conclusion in human industrial civilization now. That's just some food for thought. It's an apple for thought. Things have been so intense this week. We all know that. We can all see the economic carnage that's taking place around the world. We can see the climate change events. We're aware of the 12 million people dying of thirst in Africa, and maybe tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands of Japanese have eaten cesium-tainted beef. And we are all now holding our breath to see if the U.S. government does in fact default on August 2nd, or perhaps now a week later everything changes, but it's coming to a head. So going through the week, I took some time to to go try to write a song with a great local singer-songwriter who she was on American Idol, Tammy Gosnell. Great, wonderful woman, and we had some fun. I think there's a new song working, and you have to do that to stay balanced. But I also started thinking about my bucket list this week. I don't know if I'm the only one out here who did that, but that's what, you know, and what I thought was the first thing that came to mind, given the realities of the current situation, is, God, I sure would like to go back to Portland, Oregon again and speak. And then maybe I could sing some blues with my friend Lisa Mann at Dust Garage. I could sing Venice Boardwalk Blues there with her live. And back up a speaking gig up there. And Portland, if you've followed me for a while, has been the best city in the world to me. And I've got a long history there going back to 2001, where I taped Truth and Lies at 9/11. So that's on my bucket list. A problem is we're so busy at CollapseNet that we don't have time to organize it. So let me throw this out. It's a Hail Mary. Any of you guys out there in or around Portland, if you think you might be able to help organize an event, I'd love to come back up there and speak again. and see my friend Lisa Mann, and we can all celebrate each other and the good work that we have done together and that we share. So, given all that, we know we have a good picture now pretty much of how serious things are. The Rupert Murdoch thing is still boiling, and that's going to probably that may paralyze the British government. Gee, what a convenient excuse they would have for everything going to pot, going to whatever they call it. But we're very much closer, and the pressures are building enormously for a global nuclear conflict, and that's something that I just have to keep reminding myself of because I don't want to hold it in my head. But we have enormous pressures building in the South China Sea. On CollapseNet this week in my new journal, Reflections on Collapse for Members, I pointed out the page numbers in Crossing the Rubicon where I predicted exactly these circumstances. And it's kind of amazing how clearly I was able to foresee this. As I said throughout the book, we have a good map and what a map Rubicon has proved to be. But we also have Iraq. The pressure is building there enormously, and there is more chatter now again about an Israeli attack on Iran, which I still consider to be, I'm certain that an Israeli attack on Iran will trigger a nuclear conflict, a major one, because China will back Iran, and maybe a lot of Europe will back Iran because they need Iranian oil. So that's all interesting backstories. And as I've been going through this very intense week, I see people around me sometimes becoming snappier. It's happened to all of us. I've snapped a few times, and it's like everybody understands, oh, that's okay, that's to be expected now. So we have a really special guest tonight. Carolyn Baker's coming back now for her third or fourth time on this show. Before I read the official bio, let me just say that Carolyn Baker is a founding pillar of this new consciousness that we call post-petroleum human, and she's been a friend to all of us for many, many years now. She was a psychotherapist in private practice for 17 years and a professor of psychology and history for 10. She's the author of several books, including Navigating the Coming Chaos, A Handbook for Inner Transition, 2011, and Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilizations, Collapse, 2009. That's a great book. She manages her website, Speaking Truth to Power, at www.carolynbaker.net, just like it sounds, CarolynBaker.net, and works closely with Transition Colorado Boulder County as managing editor of the Transition Times there. She publishes a daily news digest, which is a collection of independent news stories focusing on unprecedented transitions and options for navigating in an uncertain future. She sends that out once a week to her members. She tells stories with an African drum. She leads workshops on relationships in the long emergency. She has a collapse coach. She's doing it all. She's very active there in Boulder, Colorado. Find her at carolynbaker.net. She also writes a magnificent weekly column for us at CollapseNet for our members. Carolyn, welcome back to the Lifeboat Hour.
Thank you so much for having me back. One little correction I need to make is that my daily news digest goes out daily and not weekly.
I apologize. So,
yeah, no problem. Thank you for all of that.
You're welcome. Now, you heard me talk about how I was kind of riding through the emotions of what's going on this week. Am I crazy? How am I doing? What would you say?
I think you're doing well to be somewhat crazy. Somewhat crazy is appropriate. It is a really disturbing time. We had a bloody terrorist attack this weekend in Norway, the murder of children by a right-wing Christian fundamentalist. We had four major brutal shootings across the country this week. And in talking with colleagues and just sitting with all this, I feel an almost palpable sense of depression.
Yes.
People feel, particularly those millions of unemployed people who've run out of benefits now, and a real sense of despair. And that's absolutely appropriate. And it's all the more reason, as I talk about my book, in my book, Navigating the Coming Chaos, all the more reason that we have to have a deep inner life. We have to have grounding. We have to have a relationship with the deeper parts of ourselves to really be an inner compass for us to navigate this chaos. It's bad now. It's bad now, and it's going to get way worse.
Let me just jump in. I really wanted to have Carolyn on tonight because the last couple of weeks I have not been able to take a ton of calls, and I haven't gotten to read all the emails, and I thought maybe we'd all like a chance to talk tonight. So we have Carolyn here for you. If you got any questions, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Sorry, Carolyn, wanted to get that out there in case
sure.
anybody wanted to talk tonight. Can you tell us what's going on with you and how are you feeling all this?
Well, I'm feeling some of the despair, but I'm also realizing that this is not the whole story, that there is a world behind the world that we're dealing with right now, and that we all have access to that. It's inside of us. And in my book, Navigating the Coming Chaos, I talk about different ways that we can access that inner world. Is grounding. We need grounding right now, and we need community. So we need a relationship with the inner world. We need a relationship with trusted others in the outer world. Those two things are absolutely crucial right now.
Yes,
you've got to
are.
Have those.
I have an email from Bill. You mentioned recently that you were 50-50 on the U.S. defaulting. Do you think it might be 60-40 or more now? Well, personally, I think it's looking like, yeah, they may well do it, and they may well do it for the reasons I discussed, which would be a strategic default. It would make China's U.S. Treasury holding worthless instantly. We'd probably have a nuclear war with that. But it would also allow both political parties to avoid taking direct responsibility for the inevitable slashing, cessation, permanent end of significant portions of Social Security, Medicare, you name it. FAA controllers have already been laid off. And that's a trial balloon, and so I'm kind of suspecting they're leaning in that direction. Carolyn, you got anything on that?
Well, I'm working on an article right now called "The Deeper Meaning of Debt: Humanity's Cost of Living." And you know what I talk about in there, I quote Charles Eisenstein quite a bit, who has a brand new book out called "Sacred Economics," and all of this is going to compel us to reevaluate money. You've said for over a decade, until we change the way money works, we change nothing.
Correct.
So we're going to be faced with, forced to change money and how it works. And in the article I go back to tribal times where money was about taking care of each other. In fact, before money, you know, the hunter-gatherers way before money, you know, it was exchange, it was bartering, it was about, I want to make sure you have enough because I know that you want to make sure that I have enough. And, you know, we're going to have to create a brand new story about who we are as human beings, about what money is, about what value is, and we're going to have different forms of exchange based on caring for one another. I don't expect that to come overnight. I think that will take it. There'll be a transition period before that will happen. But eventually, I think that's where we're headed, with a lot of suffering in between here and there.
A lot of suffering. My take, especially as I watch the insane moves of governments around the world. Now, these are ludicrous. I mean, I kind of went ballistic on breaking news comments on CollapseNet this week, with a story about Japan, and it was saying, it was a business story saying, oh, don't worry about Europe defaulting and going broke. Japan has agreed to buy their bonds. And I thought, what's going on here? The the obvious insanity is having an effect as well, because sometimes it is like fingernails on a chalkboard. And I find myself getting very tense behind that. I find myself reacting. We're also seeing COINTELPRO attacks on our lists, which is a sign that it's like Gandhi said, first they ignore you, then they fight you, and then you win. So let's hope we're at that place. I'm kind of worried, though, Carolyn, about how people are going to handle all this stuff that's coming so very quickly.
Well, a lot of people aren't. And, you know, I expect to see a lot of people losing it. We've talked about this before. We can expect to see violence. We need to learn one of the principles that I've been working on lately and reading about, and I'm going to be taking some training on, is called somatic experiencing, and it's a way to deal with trauma. We need to understand that the future is going to be filled with a lot of trauma, and there are ways that we can work with that, that we can move through it without being completely incapacitated by it. So in a lot of the public work that I'm doing right now, I'm helping people understand that.
I have experienced the SE or somatic experiencing personally, and I can tell you that it's real, it works, it's effective.
Yeah,
it's very important, because, you know, I'm the kind of guy who, when I get way overstressed, what I'll do is I'll find a way to exercise, which is a form of that kind of release, I guess, in
sure.
directly.
Yeah.
What's happening with SE in you? Tell me more.
Well, I'm planning to start the training. There's a whole series of trainings that go on for a couple of years, and I'm planning to start the training very soon and complete it, the beginning training in October, and then move on from there. I've also, as you have, experienced it personally, and I just think, you know, overall right now, it's so easy for us to get into concepts in our heads, you know, and think about all of this. And, you know, it's important that we think. We don't want to lose our thinking capacity, but we've got to deal with the stuff that's in our bodies. And we've got to get the body fine-tuned so that it can really be an ally instead of an enemy.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent. That's really good news. I think maybe we'll play a new White Trash song now to kind of keep the mood going here. I've got a couple more emails coming in. The number to call, 1-888-874-4888, or email me at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. It's not all timers, it's some timers. The song tonight I thought was kind of cool in that it had to kind of fit with Rupert Murdoch, and it fit with all of these increasingly flimsy news broadcasts and stories telling us that anybody has control of anything anywhere. This is a song that New White Trash recorded featuring the incredible vocals of my friend and bandmate, Miss Kristen Weygaard. It's called Don't Dig Too Deep.
Sweep the field.
duty. Don't ask too many questions. Don't challenge anything. If you like that song, you can find it at www.newwhitetrash.com. That's a group featuring Doug Lewis, my good friend Doug Lewis, down in Venice, California. He's been a little under the weather. Hey, Doug. Hey, Squishy. Hey, Monster. Those are his two dogs. Hope you're doing good, buddy. Newwhitetrash.com. You can listen for free, download them, buy them, whatever you want to do. Original stuff that's really holding true for what's going on today. Okay, we're back with about 6 minutes before the station break. We have an email question, Carolyn, from Greg, who asks, are there any books available on what societies were like before our current monetary system was in place? Anything at all you could recommend on this topic before we officially fall apart? I'm all for working with others, but I have to say that I don't have much faith in others working things out with me when push comes to shove. Carolyn.
Yeah, Charles Eisenstein does go into that in his new book, Sacred Economics, which I highly recommend. And, you know, it isn't about you get everybody around you to work it out with you. It's about, you know, small groups of trusted others. And, you know, we're going to be so completely on our own in the next few years. You know, we'll look back at, oh, Social Security, Medicare, how funny. You know, there's going to be really nothing for us. We're going to be on our own, and we're going to have to make these things work. So we need to do this in small groups. And I also want to say that in terms of how we're feeling, and as Mike has talked about feeling crazy this week, every single one of us needs to be in some sort of group with other people who get it, where we can talk about our feelings about this. I'm fortunate enough to have a group of, like that here in Boulder. It's part of Transition. It's called a Heart and Soul group. We meet once a week. We come together, and we use a book usually as a springboard for our conversation. But people walk in the door, and they say, oh, my God, you know, it's so good to be here. I feel so much less crazy than out there in the street. There's other people who get it. We all need that sort of thing. So
indeed,
I highly recommend creating spaces where you can talk about this.
I just reached over to pick up a copy of my book, Confronting Collapse, because at the very end of it, I had this great quote from this guy named M. King Hubbard, who we both have heard of before. and it was really profound. Here it is. I found it. Okay, I'm quoting him. This was in testimony before Congress in 1976. He says, yet during the last two centuries of unbroken industrial growth, we have evolved what amounts to an exponential growth culture. Our institutions, our legal system, our financial system, and our most cherished folkways and beliefs are all based on the premise of continuous growth. Since physical and biological constraints make it impossible to continue such rates of growth, that was me quoting him, but he talked about folkways of prehistoric origins. And he was trying to trace money back.
Mm-hmm.
And in my research, or in my study, my experience is that everything started when man first cultivated grain and had a surplus,
right?
Which caused fear that
right.
that somebody would take this extra food that I had that allowed me to build a house or whatever the case may be. But it was also a fundamental belief in good and evil, that there was something to be defended against and protected against, and you had to have dominion for that. And somehow all this stuff got tied up all at once. I don't know how we're going to get there from here.
I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know either. I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of conflict between here and there. But I think ultimately we're going to realize the value of things in a different way than we do now. We don't really have a sense of value. We don't have a sense of value of the earth. And it's going to depend on creating a new story, a new paradigm, out of which these new relationships of economics are created. That's
mm-hmm.
going to take a while.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that this just came to me now, so I had this stroke of insight. It is easier to change the way money works the closer you work to where you are. In
That's
other
right.
words, What I'm experiencing here in West Sonoma County is that we can do things for each other on a barter system very easily without much elaboration, without any lawyers, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We just kind
right.
of do it. But the further away stuff gets from me, physically, the harder it is to change. That just kind of came to me right now. We're coming up on a minute. I'm going to get one more in here before we go to station break. This is for Carolyn. And you, Carolyn, we'll just read the question now. We'll pick up your answer after the break. How's that?
Okay, sounds good.
This is for Carolyn. Because of the awareness I've gained about what most likely lies ahead, I get very depressed and feel a very deep, penetrating sadness for the children I see around me. It's the kind of sadness you feel when you think about your deceased mother. Does that make sense? When I first became aware of peak oil and its ramifications, I told a couple of ladies about the collapse and what it really means. They got visibly shaken, and they told me that I was scaring them. Best regards,
right.
Dave Scott. Carolyn, we will come back to that. It's right at the bottom of the hour. It's time for a station break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Carolyn Baker. Oh, no, I got a signal from the board that says, hang on, don't break. Okay, Carolyn, you want to start with that?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah. I would say, well, depression is almost always an absence of grief. Now, a person may be weepy and crying a lot. That doesn't mean they're really experiencing grief.
Right.
These losses need to be grieved.
Mm.
A wonderful book that I've used in writing Navigating the Coming Chaos is called Healing Through the Dark Emotions. So if you're depressed, on one hand, that's a good sign because that's an opportunity to move into grief and then by all means talk about it with other people. Let the tears flow specifically for those things you're grieving. For me, it's animals. You know, it's like, don't show me a drowning polar bear or I'm drowning in tears. You know, but when I allow myself to feel that even just a little bit, something shifts inside of me. I talk about it with other people. Get yourself involved in community. Get yourself feeling supported so that you're not alone in this. And, really cultivate an inner life. Really, you know, through meditation, through journaling, through writing down your dreams, exercise is really important. You know, take a good walk every day. I've got some stuff in Navigating the Coming Chaos, new research about what walking does for us. So all of these tools we can use not to erase the depression, but to shift it and to lessen it and to turn it into vital, useful energy.
Yeah, I went out on a great two-hour hike all through the woods up and down the hills where I live yesterday with my dog Rags. We had a great time. And boy, does that change how you vibrate when you're done. You know, feel yourself in a completely different spot. We're getting a signal now. There was a tech issue. It's been resolved, so we are going to do the station break here on PRN with Carolyn Baker. This is Mike Rupert. We'll be back right after this.
Listening to the Progressive Radio Network, your number one source for progressive commentary.
Hey, did you miss your favorite show? Don't worry, PRN has you covered. Just log on to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com and go to the archive page where you can choose from any of our great programs. Listen or download shows from yesterday or even ones dating months back. The Progressive Radio Network, striving to make your lives easier.
This is Adam Coulter with Brooklyn Jazz Underground Radio. We'll be here every Tuesday from 5 to 6 with great music, interviews, and live performances right here on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network. Again, that's Tuesdays from 5 to 6, or you can listen anytime at the archives at progressiveradionetwork.com.
Driving you crazy? Do you have a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend? An ex you can't let go of? An obnoxious boss? Adult kids who won't listen? I'm Hollis Polk, and I fix relationship problems. Your life, your relationship with Hollis Polk offers you practical solutions for all sorts of people problems. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, or download the podcast at progressiveradionetwork.com.
Listening to the Progressive Radio Network, a station that doesn't rest until you're informed. Thanks for listening.
Friends down on Venice Boardwalk are doing today, and what kind of day it is. Probably a pretty day out there. I wonder how many people out there on Venice Boardwalk walking up and down with their sunglasses on, looking at all the sights and smelling all the smells and eating the food and all that good stuff. I wonder if the consciousness is in their head. It's kind of getting like a blanket you carry around with you. But I hope they're all having a good time down there today. We're back with Carolyn Baker on the Lifeboat Hour. We have two callers on hold, Carolyn. We have Sean from Illinois who has a question, I think, about finding local support. Sean, are you there?
Hello, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I have sort of a problem here in Springfield, Illinois, Springfield area, in searching for anybody anywhere that has any sort of, you know, idea as to, you know, what's going on and keeping up to date on the real events that are affecting us every day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any kind of ideas as to what I can do to find these people? I mean, everywhere I go, I sort of, you know, talk a little bit about, and it just seems that, you know, I'm so alone here, like there's nobody around, and literally I am depressed about it.
Have you been to CollapseNet.com?
Oh yeah, yes, I've been a member for quite some time now.
Okay, have you found anybody locally you could communicate with through our software there?
One's about an hour and a half away, and the other one's about an hour away.
Okay, all right.
Where exactly are you in Illinois?
Just south of Springfield, about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Out there, Illinois.
Okay, there is someone you could connect with. His name is Bill Wilson. Are you familiar with Bill?
No, is he from there?
He's in Stell, Illinois, which is not that far south of Chicago, and he does regular transition trainings. And why don't you shoot me an email and I'll send you a link, carolyn@carolynbaker.net.
Okay. Now, see, I know, like, I don't have the money and stuff to travel around and all that. Like, I'm very, I'm kind of stuck here where I am as far as traveling and that. And Springfield's, there's probably, 120,000 people here, and, there's nothing here. I don't know if I should, like, put up flyers, or is that, like, going a little too far, or what, you know?
I think we have something that might be helping you out. On August 1st or thereabouts, we're going to be launching a CollapseNet, an independent contractor program, where we have flyers, and every independent contractor will be allowed to give a 10% discount on CollapseNet membership, and with using your personal code, when the new member enters that, you'll get a 20% commission off the top. We have the art ready for you. We're going to be launching that pretty soon. It may be a way also to bring in a few extra bucks, because CollapseNet is we are being noticed and we're making a big difference out here. That's something I can throw at you.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Well, you know, I and what I can tell people and what I'm saying to people, nobody says I'm crazy. Not one person has, you know. It's funny. But it's like, well, you know, I don't want to talk to you about this. I don't want to discuss it with you. Well, I want somebody to talk to you. I want somebody to listen to me. And, you know, you just don't find anybody, so.
Right.
You can blog with us, and there's certainly lots of people out here to stay in touch with. And Carolyn just showed you how this works, man. You asked a question, and she was right there with something to help. And it really is all about us finding each other so that we can share what we know more quickly. We have another call I'd like to get to. Sean, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Sean.
I want to get to Josh from Missouri. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Hey, Josh. What's up?
Well, I just wanted to say that I've been following you for a long time since Collapse, and I really appreciate the work you've done, opening my eyes to a lot of stuff. And I just want to talk about, you were talking about nuclear warfare maybe with China, and whenever I get into nuclear warfare, I always think about you have to come, usually it comes from some sort of radical, because if it comes from a nation, it's more of like, you know, one side bombs another side, and then they bomb back, and it just ends up being a travesty both sides, so they just don't even engage in it. And I was wondering how maybe it would start if it does, and what you thought about that.
We've been covering that pretty comprehensively on CollapseNet, but there are major forces at play now. And the bottom line still is oil. Crossing the Rubicon 7 years ago, clearly that several things were going to happen. One is the tension over the South China Sea, which has all oil and gas deposits, but that the South China Sea through the Spratly Islands is the route through which all tankers supplying Japan, China, and Korea go. Whoever controls that region controls the oil routes, and it's getting that ugly right now in the contest for energy. Secondly, in Iraq, there is a deadline, an absolute deadline, that the U.S. government has to pull out all of its military troops military personnel.
On the 31st, yeah.
Excuse me, by December 31st. We have no intention of doing that, and we're not going to. Unless there's a major miracle. Now, Muqtada al-Sadr has a 2-million-man army, the Mehdi army, which is well-trained. They fought us to a standstill in Fallujah and southern Iraq. The Iranians support him. And the Chinese support the Iranians, and China now has an oil facility delivering oil out of Iraq, which is owned by the Chinese National Oil Company. It's a state entity, meaning that China militarily has the right to protect its assets if there's further violence in Iraq. Everything, everywhere is pushing stupidly towards war. If the U.S. government does default in a strategic default on August 2nd or August 10th, whenever, China's $3.2 trillion of treasury holdings will be worthless, because what the Secretary of State and the President will do is pay the Social Security, but they will not pay the interest on U.S. government bonds, which will destroy our AAA credit rating and absolutely throw the global economy into chaos. This is, you know, all the pressures are building for this. And Carolyn, I always go back on a prayer that you and I know very well, which is, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But what I find is that once I fully get my head around the idea of the imminence of nuclear war, I can only stay there for a few minutes, and then I have to almost forget about it, you know, like it doesn't exist. That's the only way I can function. I don't know any way to prevent it, and I'll shut up and let you talk on this, Carolyn. Is something like what Gary Null was saying in the last hour before this show started, which is a global general strike. I don't know what else would work at this point. Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with that, and if that could happen, you know, that could be very powerful, or it could be very deadly. I don't know. I like the idea of strikes, and up until now, I don't think they've been very feasible, but we may be at a point where that will work in some way.
Okay.
Josh, thank you for your call, man.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Okay. We got a couple more emails here.
I want to just insert one thing.
Sure.
I was talking a while ago about somatic experiencing, and I just want to give a website, www.traumahealing.com. You can go there, www.traumahealing.com, and find out everything about somatic experiencing, a wonderful training for preparing for dealing with trauma.
Excellent. Good. Yes. Two thumbs up from me on that.
Thank you.
We have an email from Rob. I read an article proposing that the U.S. is less inclined to revolt due to its diversity. If true, it's unfortunate because I think diversity makes our country great, but at the same time, there is some merit to this. More specifically, diverse ethnicities are less likely to band together in uprising. I'd love to get both of your thoughts. Carolyn, go ahead. You first.
Oh, yeah, don't just throw it in my lap. I think there's going to be a lot of racism expressed. I don't know how solidified different groups are going to be. I was just in the Midwest baking a couple of weeks ago, 102 outside, 98% humidity, and the anger was palpable. And blaming Obama, you know, calling him the black idiot. Now, I'm no fan of Obama, but that kind of tells you where people are. I mean, I actually know of groups where people get up every day and they sit around, you know, they have coffee together and bash Obama. You know, I don't have a lot of hope for different groups pulling together, but I hope to God I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, and I would look at it like instead of saying I'm not sure that diversity is going to be that big a difference, a decider one way or another, because everybody is absolutely boiling mad at something now,
right.
Regardless of you know, who you are, what color you are, where you live, how much money you make, et cetera.
Right.
I am inclined to think that areas that are more physically segregated, that's an old word, but it's still a real one, will have along their borders and with and perhaps within them a greater risk. And that would be something to consider if you're in, say, for example, East Los Angeles. Obviously, there is a specifically defined area of a very concentrated ethnicity. South Central used to be all black. It's not so much anymore, believe it or not. But, you know, still, those kinds of things I think will make a difference. But, you know, I'm not going to worry about diversity one way or another. I think maybe what, Carolyn, correct me if I'm wrong, what we're both saying is that it's going to be messy, ugly, nasty, mean, and otherwise not fun any way you look at it.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Let's go back here. We've got another one from Adam. Whoa, this is a long one. Let's take a look at this. Okay. From your analysis and my own studying of recent news, it appears that there may be, for want of a better term, a shadow war among the ruling elite in the U.S., Western Europe, and Israel. If this is the case, the question is, what are the ruling elite fighting over? A theory I've come up with that seems most likely based on the information I have found in the fight appears to be over Israel, specifically a former head of Mossad and Bobby Baer. Both claim Netanyahu wishes to bomb Iran, blah, blah. It's a long question. But I think it's a good one, and you started off phrasing it pretty well. I don't have time to read the whole thing on the air. But yes, there is definitely a shadow war going on, and Carolyn's qualified to talk about this too. She paid some dues, and she earned a lot of stripes and did a lot of great work at From the Wilderness while she was there. And Carolyn and I both understand shadow war, where we hear the booms and the thuds, and Rupert Murdoch is clearly a case of that, and Dominique Strauss-Kahn as well. Israel is indeed a part of this, and I wrote a chapter on Israel and crossing the Rubicon. It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It has everything to do with anti-Zionism, which is my personal opinion. Carolyn can say whatever she wishes to or not about that. But, yeah, I'm not sure what all the pieces are yet, and that's why we watch, and that's why we hope that this Rupert Murdoch thing really gets good so some governments fall, and so that all of the corruption in the mainstream media and everywhere else in Wall Street and every place else is that much more visible. Carolyn?
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. A lot going on under the carpet, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's Cynthia McKinney's line.
DSK and Murdoch are certainly part of that, and it's going to be interesting to see how that's played out.
Yeah.
I don't want to take any bets on that.
Yeah, I don't either. But you know, we all. I'm just watching. I'm hoping we all wait for the moment when the so transparent folly of the infinite growth paradigm becomes, in Dmitry Orlov's words, the aha moment, when everybody gets it. It's over. It's dead.
Right.
So
right.
We can sweep this detritus and hubris. Well, I'm so poetic tonight. Out of the way and start building something new, because we really can't, as a species, as a civilization, start building anything new until the old structure is torn down completely. There's just no way around that. You have to hit a bottom, as they say in some programs, right, Carolyn?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
and we're on our way down to the very depths right now.
You better believe it. And it's going to be a hard landing, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
We have a question from Joe in Georgia, who says, Mike, when are we expecting those quarterly earnings reports that reflect the crisis in Japan? For those of us opening our eyes into this crisis, is now the time to cash out my retirement? It's heavily taxed if I do it. However, it seems like I could stand to lose thousands like I did in 2008. I know you've preached putting your available income in tangibles. Does this include retirement? I read the World News Desk every day. Thanks for your invaluable guidance during this time. Thanks, Joe. Joe, good question, and thank you for asking that. I issued a very clear videotape warning an alert in April, saying that July would be the month when the world economy would come unglued as a result of really bad earnings reports. Well, everything that I thought was going to happen in July is happening in spades all around it. In case you've missed it, Greece has defaulted. The EU is collapsing. You know, we're about to default here, which would cover act as a cover story so that the government doesn't have to admit that the infinite growth paradigm is fatally flawed. We see the effects, and they are taking place. We've been publishing stories on the World News Desk, including one that's a tour that are up there on Breaking News Now, that have showed clearly how corporations have managed to improve their earnings reports this quarter. They have laid off, fired hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, among other things. They have rebooked normal operating expenses as capital costs. They have cooked their books. But more than cooking their books, they've also improved their books by firing hundreds of thousands of people. So they still show, if you will, a profit on paper. But in the movie Collapse, I said clearly that you can't eat a $20 bill and you can't put it in your gas tank. What we're seeing clearly is exactly what I said was going to happen in July. Whether it's, the fact is that the companies aren't selling anything. The companies aren't making, they're making less. The resources aren't there. They can't get the parts. And the only way they can show a profit is by killing people and laying them off. And that's all happening. And Brother Joe, if you have a retirement, this is your retirement.
Right.
You cannot expect that anything in an investment in a bank, a financial institution, is going to be functional even after August 2nd or August the 10th. I rattled on about that. But, Carolyn, what do you got on that?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. What I suggest to people when they ask me about that is get your hands on it sooner rather than later, because it may not be there later.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then put some of it into gold.
Yeah. After you have your tangible assets needed, and we have incredible checklists and incredible resources on the Lighthouse Directory at collapsedebt.com. That's free. More than 1,400 hand-picked, very incredible, very meticulously screened and organized listings to take you across all of the things that you need to be thinking about now in case you haven't, or maybe find some things that you have forgotten or overlooked. There are checklists in there. There's all kinds of resources. You don't have to invent the wheel from scratch. We recommend 3 months' worth of food, a couple weeks' worth of water at least, but hard goods, things that you can use to live on when the shit hits the fan. I can say that. It's internet radio. Okay. Oh, so this is somebody asking me to review something. I'm not going to read that on the air. That's a lot of reading. Okay, we're clear. We've caught up. Carolyn, if the U.S. government defaults, I know you're on Social Security too, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah, okay. You know, there's a good chance that your check isn't going to be there.
And know that, yeah.
These are, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road for a lot of people. And how do you think, how would anybody think that people are going to react when the Social Security check doesn't come?
I think a lot of seniors are going to go ballistic, and their children are going to go ballistic who are trying to take care of them and support them. You know, there's going to be a lot of homelessness.
Yep.
But is going ballistic going to make any difference? The people of Greece have been going ballistic for months.
Yes.
And it's accomplished nothing.
It's a revolution. Yeah.
Boy, there is a country that is just so emotionally battered. And, I just think that it's going to be a bloodbath. And, of course, you know, there's a part of me that's saying, bring it on, the sooner the better. And there's another part of me that goes, oh, shit, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's living on a knife edge and a half. And I'm really glad you brought up Greece, too, and Norway. And let me just talk on Norway for a second. I don't think I have during this show. I'm looking at this, and with my long experience in covert operations and around intelligence and knowing operators around the world in various forms, this one is kind of puzzling. I don't see a direct cui bono. It's apparently being laid on a right-wing, racist, kind of anti-Semitic stereotype. Looks straight out of an MKUltra mind control operating session. Don't worry, folks, we don't have time to discuss that anymore. It's the collapse, so I can bring that
right up.
But if anything else, it served as a diversion this week, taking attention away from the deficit, taking attention away from Rupert Murdoch and News Corp. And by the way, I think Mr. Cameron's going down in Great Britain, and I think that it's going to come here, and I really hope that a lot of heads continue to roll with that.
Right.
But now it's just scarerism. That's a term I heard in Washington where meeting a congresswoman in about 1994. It's just scarerism. They just scare you into paralysis. I'm not sure what else to garner out of Norway now. With the other possibility, however, which is pretty scary, and Karen, Carolyn, you're a shrink, is that people might just snap, and we might see the things that we saw, like the schoolyard shootings, and lots of them. And I'm not sure how we absorb the shock of realizing how unsafe the whole pool table of civilization is getting, you know.
Well, I think that's when we're going to organize very quickly to protect each other's backs. And, you know, I think of what Dimitri wrote in Reinventing Collapse and all his other articles about how people watched each other's backs in the Soviet Union, never allowed anybody to walk on the street by themselves, and certainly not at night, and, you know, certainly not women by themselves. So, you know, I think it's going to be rough for women, for children, for older people, for everybody. And we're going to really have to organize small groups to protect each other.
Yeah, and that's becoming very, very clear. And I've been asked by people here in West Sonoma County, you know, to start to teach some of the things I know. And I'm pretty well educated in this area, which would be, you know, self-defense and firearms and so forth. And I'm finding myself having a real debate about how much to teach and how to organize this and everything else. There's one thing to be available, but there's something else elders have to do when you and I are both elders.
That's right.
We have to decide who has to eat the baby food, the milk, and then who gets to eat the beef.
Right.
You know, there's so many ways that I find myself having to reexamine a great many of my values in light of changing circumstances. And
well, this is going to be a huge issue, is, you know, the issue of values and the decisions that we make that will be a matter of life and death. I don't think we can even begin to comprehend that right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We're coming down to the end of the show. Carolyn Baker, I want to thank you so much for being with us tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but this was a fabulous show for me.
Always my pleasure, Mike.
You have a lot of fans here. You can find Carolyn Baker every week on CollapseNet for our members, but you find her on her own site at carolynbaker.net. She's very accessible, very easygoing, and she's real good to have around. Carolyn, we will be talking to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay. And for everybody else, I'll be back next week on the 31st. Definitely no guests because we will be so close to the August 2nd default issue that I'm keeping that open for breaking news. We do have coming up David Holmgren. Don't need to introduce him, and the director of an amazing film called Anima Mundi. He might be the week after the 31st subject to breaking news. This is Mike Rupert and the Lifeboat Hour. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Good night.